Have you heard? It's not our job to save people, but to love them and share the Jesus story with them. It's God's job to forgive them. He draws people to himself through the Jesus story. Hi, my name is Simeon. When I was approached about speaking on the topic of sharing my faith with other people, my first thought was wondering what I had to share. Talking to other people about Jesus is not something I do really often. I have relatively little past experience. What I did find was that the talk from North Coast, which this talk is based on, and the scripture that went along with that was very encouraging to me in the topic of sharing my faith. For those of you who are feeling discouraged, I hope to offer you some encouragement. And many of you have more experience in sharing your faith with others than I do, and I would have a lot to learn from you. Before we get into the topic, there's two questions that I need to ask you. First one is this, and you can answer it to yourself. Do you consider yourself a follower of Jesus? How you answer that has many important consequences, but for today, for right now, if you answered no, well, you're off the hook. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you're watching, if you're watching on Zoom. I hope that you find out a little bit about what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, but what I have to say probably won't apply directly to you today. Personally, I answered yes. I knew about Jesus as a fairly young child, and when I was 13, I let my family and my church family know that I wanted to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. Second question is this. Do you find yourself thinking about all the tasks that you have to do in a day, or do you find yourself thinking more about the interactions with people that you're going to have in that day? For me, and if you know me, you probably know this already, that I'm really, really strong on the list of stuff to do side. For good or for bad, my day tends to be all about what I have to do for that day. Can some of you relate to that? Sometimes being too focused on tasks can get you in trouble. One such day, and I think this was in March 2002, I was almost done my second year of university. And as I mentioned, I consider myself a follower of Jesus. So at university, it was really important for me to find other Christians who I could associate with. And that was pretty easy to do because there were some Christian clubs on campus and they were all very welcoming and it was easy to join and be part of that. And one of these clubs had an activity and they call this activity sharing. And the idea was that two of us would go up to people randomly on campus and ask if they wanted to talk about God. I've already mentioned that I'm task-oriented, so I saw this, like everything else, as a task I had to do, like something to check off a list. So regardless of how someone we approached responded, I figured all we have to do is ask. If they say yes, we have these little paper booklets that talked about the good news of Jesus that we could go through with them. So on this particular day, two of us were kind of nervously going around looking for people to talk to, and we happened upon a young lady, and she was one of several roommates at the boarding house that I lived in. I started with the usual, "Hey, can my friend and I talk to you about God?" The line that we always used, but instead of a yes or a no answer, she said to me, "You can talk to me about this anytime back at the house. Right now I'm hanging out with my friends." So as you can imagine, this kind of messed with my task-oriented share with 10 people today kind of mentality. But most importantly, I had to recognize that she was absolutely right. I could talk to her anytime. So if I stuck with my task-oriented view, this is what you call a closed door. And I'm sorry to say that I never did follow up with her, and it was very close to the end of the semester, and we both moved on to different places and lived somewhere else the next year. In the clip earlier of the game show contestants, trying to get through the obstacle challenge with the doors, sometimes the door was paper, and they easily got through it. Sometimes the door was solid wood, like boarded up, and for their sake, I really hope the injuries weren't too serious. I find it difficult to share my faith in Jesus with others. Looking back, I haven't encountered too many open doors, and a few closed doors have discouraged me from trying. Do you find it easy to share your faith with others? I suspect that for many of you here, like me, if you're a follower of Jesus, you might struggle with this as well. Or do you ever worry that you haven't been effective at sharing with your family or the people closest to you that you are a follower of Jesus? With people close to us, it's easy to use the excuse that we can just love them and never need to use words. We can just use our actions. And I worry about this in my close relationships. Every time I read through Matthew or Mark in the Bible, there's a reminder that Jesus commanded his followers to tell other people about him. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it reads, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" How do you feel when you're reminded of the command to tell the good news about Jesus to every people and nation in the world? I usually find myself feeling kind of discouraged and unprepared. First bit of encouragement that I want to give you today is that sharing Jesus with others can be an open door situation. Our part is to look for the open doors. The Bible has quite a bit to say about open and closed doors. In other words, at any given moment in time, there are people who want to find out more about Jesus, and there are those who don't. On one occasion, Jesus sent out the 12 disciples to preach about the kingdom of God. He gave them power to heal the sick so that the same supernatural evidence that was associated with Jesus was with them. So you'd think that everywhere they went, crowds would gather, people would be open, like there's healing going on, and they'd be welcomed and crowds would want to listen. But let's read what it says in Matthew 10, 5 to 20. "These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. 'Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Don't get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it's not, let your peace return to you. If anyone does not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it'll be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You'll be handed over to local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you.'" So first of all, doors sometimes wouldn't open. Second of all, sometimes you're going to get arrested. In verses 9 to 11, we found out kind of the mechanics or how this journey from town to town would work. The disciples were to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who had leprosy, and drive out demons, all in the power that Jesus gave them. This was to be free to those who needed it. In exchange, the disciples didn't have to take money or something to pay their living expenses, but they did have to find someone to stay with. Sometimes the disciples would give their greeting of peace and the family or the people would welcome them. And sometimes they'd give their greeting of peace and the people would say, no, we don't want you here, or get out of our town. Jesus made a clear distinction between the opened and closed doors. And he even told the disciples to make a point of shaking dust off their feet if they weren't welcomed. Shaking dust off of their feet was a gesture a Jew might make when they left a non-Jewish town or city. Even the dust was unwanted. But on the other hand, when the people accepted the disciples and their message, this was an open door. And the disciples would speak a blessing of peace and stay in their home for as long as they were in the town. What I want to take from the passage today is that when it comes to sharing about Jesus, today we can and we should look for open doors. Sometime after Jesus sent out disciples to the towns of Israel, after Jesus died and was raised to life again, Paul and his companions went on journeys to other parts of the world for the purpose of letting other people know who Jesus was and teaching others to be followers of Jesus. In Acts 16:6-11, it's recorded that God gave Paul really clear guidance about where to go in the form of a closed door and an open one. It says, Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. We don't know how exactly God stopped Paul from entering this province of Asia where Ephesus and Bithynia were. But there was a definite closed door at the time. He couldn't physically even go there. In place of that, God gave him a vision to go somewhere else, Macedonia. This is a little different than the previous trip where the disciples knew about the open and closed doors purely based on human reactions. How did people react when they came and asked to stay? This was God giving specific guidance about where to go. Still, the principle is the same, that there are open doors. We can look for open doors both by listening and observing people's reactions, and also by praying and listening to God. The second bit of encouragement I want to give you is that sharing the message of Jesus is something you are probably already doing. It doesn't have to look like getting up on a stage or, you know, going out to ask strangers if they want to talk about God. Romans 12:1-2 gives us the context for living life as a follower of Jesus, which also applies to sharing our faith. This is the contemporary paraphrase of Romans 12:1-2 in the Message. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you, develops well-formed maturity in you. For most of us, it's not in a church or in some organization's program that people will find out who Jesus is from us. Just like everything else God calls us to do, it's like loving him or loving other people. Sharing our faith happens in the context of our ordinary life. It's something we can do where we live, where we work, where we play. One time when Jesus was speaking, there were two word pictures that he gave about what it's like to be a follower of his. This is recorded in Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's examine the word picture for salt first. This is a carton of salt that you can get at the grocery store today, and it costs $1.18. The little caption says, for cooking and baking. Not a big deal. Today there are songs of people being like sugar, but I don't know of any songs about people being like salt. And if I told you today, you're like salt, I don't even know if that would be a compliment or an insult. Not so in the first century. Salt was a valuable commodity. There was no refrigeration. So if you wanted to keep any meat, you packed it in salt. Roman soldiers were paid in salt as it was valuable enough as a trade currency. So for Jesus to say his followers were like salt is to say we're valuable in the world, like a preservative. We are to have an impact and create a thirst for more information and experience of Jesus. I think that Jesus was saying he wants you to be the thing that adds life. We know the hurts around us in the lives of people. We know about physical health issues that our friends and family are going through. We might know about a mental health issue at work or someone in your family. Are you witnessing someone close to you going through financial struggle? I don't know the details of what it would look like, but somehow you might be the one who could bring life to the situation. Jesus' second picture was that we are the light of the world. And there are all kinds of different lights that we can get. We've got lamps, we've got light fixtures in the room. If you have a vehicle, there's all kinds of lights. Many of them are there just for the purpose of safety. Not sure this one's going to turn on for me.
It's kind of there.
Yeah. Try not to shine this in anyone's face. You have little emergency lights, got bike headlights and flashlights. And in the first century, they didn't have all of these electric lights, but they had little clay lamps, and you put olive oil in them and you light it, and not even as fancy as like the nice glass lamps that we have now, but just like a little clay dish with a little wick burning. So we've got all these different kinds of lights, and you know, even a TV can be made up of 7 million individual lights, and these are just a couple of examples. So in the first century, when you just had these little clay containers with a wick and you had to burn olive oil, you wouldn't light a lamp and cover it up with a bowl, for sure. And today we've got all these different sources of light, but we still need light to read or work or see the people that we're spending time with. Like salt and light, every follower of Jesus is called to make a difference. Wherever you go, whatever you do, in your ordinary everyday life, you can be a different flavor and a light. This can lead to those open doors of sharing the reason why you're different. Just like light comes in many forms, how you interact with people and how you show that God's made a difference in your life depends on your personality. There are different needs in the world as well. For some people, the bright light of someone proclaiming their faith could be scary or blinding. If someone's hurting, the glow of a candle or a nightlight might be what they need and all they can take at the moment. All they might need in that moment is to know that there's hope. For someone who's seen a little bit about Jesus and wants to know what the next steps are to follow Jesus, the bright light of a friend who's ready to share their faith, or even someone preaching from a stage, might be what they need. Regardless of your personality, whether you get energy from being with people all the time or from solitude, whether you're task-oriented or you're powered by the next relational encounter for that day, whether you're a student or you're working or you're caring for others, there are open doors that are suited to you. You can let others know that you have different ethics, that you do your job differently. This can be in relation just to how you treat other people. This can be about how you talk about and use money. This can be in the causes and organizations that you get involved in. Third bit of encouragement I want to give you is that it matters how you come across to others. Everyone needs to hear the good news. And throughout the Bible, it's reinforced that the good news is for all people, the whole world, people of every culture, language, nation. Even though the good news is for everyone, in Jesus' teaching, a little bit after the salt and the light illustration, he tells us to be wise in how we approach others. This is from Matthew 7:6. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then tear you to pieces. The verse isn't literally about taking valuable things and giving them to dogs and pigs, but rather what is sacred, or the pearls that Jesus is talking about, are pictures of the teaching of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' time, dogs and pigs that he referred to would have been a picture of wild ones that maybe run through the streets, not somebody's pets or farm animals. So the dogs and the pigs refer to people who, when presented with the good news of Jesus, treat it with scorn and contempt. If sharing our faith results in anger and ridicule or simply lack of interest, we need to find another time and another place. Instead of forcing a closed door, we should look for one that's open. We're trying to make a difference for God. It matters how the person we're sharing with perceives us. There's already a stereotype in the world in general that Christians stand on street corners and they preach hellfire and suffering to anyone who refuses to believe in Jesus. I don't know of any time that's been really associated with this church, but out there in the world, on a wider scale, we can encounter people who have experienced followers of Jesus like that. If you're like me, there are many people in your life who have had a bad experience with church. And it takes many times of asking to convince someone to try it again. There are some things we can do about this. We can start by praying for one person that God brings to mind or is on our heart. Starting with the whole world is too much. We can start with action rather than words. We can look for ways to communicate love to someone. If they need help, we can help them. If they need someone to stand up for them, we can stand up for them. If they're hurting, we can be there with them. Or if they're celebrating, we can celebrate with them. We can talk with rather than preach at the people that we encounter. Asking questions and listening to the answers will help us understand the person we're talking with, and it shows respect. We can ask about work, or family, or sports, or video games, or anything that interests that person. If someone you know follows a religion, asking about it, learning about it, may lead to them being interested in what you believe in. And finally, if someone is interested, we can share what we believe in simple terms, and then leave them with something to do. Giving someone something to read is good, but offering to go with them to church is even better. And if you or I do go with them to church, we should be willing to leave if they want to leave. It matters how you and I, as followers of Jesus, come across to them. If you are a follower of Jesus, I hope I have encouraged you today to look for open doors to share your faith. You're called to be salt. You're called to be light. Your personality and your character count. Are you willing to make a difference for the kingdom of God? Remember that God's plan is simple. Jesus chose us to continue his mission of sharing the good news. You're God's plan A, and he made you for a purpose. It's up to you and I to choose to carry out that purpose with God's help. Imagine if followers of Jesus in the community where you live and work brought flavor and life to everyone around them. Imagine if they were attractive like light. Imagine if they listened more than they spoke. My prayer for you and I is that we'd be like that this week. I have a couple of discussion questions for you to meet with people around you and talk about, and we have 10 minutes for that. Violet, could you put those up, please? Thank you. So, first question, if you're at a SkyTrain station or sitting down for lunch, and someone came up to you and tried to convince you of a belief or conviction, how would you feel? And second one, if someone spent a lot of time with you and really got to know you, what would they notice about you that's different from the culture in general? So we'll take about 10 minutes to talk and resume after that.